Okay, let's continue with Rav and Shmuel. And I think something very, very fascinating comes out. Based on what we said last week, that Shmuel was really the established, he was the homeboy, if you can say it, in Bavel, in Nahar Dor. It was his father's town, he was established, Rav was somewhat the newcomer, and he went down to Surah, to this new place. We'll see they had a whole different approach to the socio-political situation going on at that time. And I think we can understand it now, based on the Gemaras, we can understand because we know the background of Rav and Shmuel. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. You have to understand, very important, what took place at that time. What took place at that time is like this. Bavel, obviously, was not anymore controlled by the Babylonians. Right? There are no Babylonians left. At that time, the ones that ruled Bavel, that part of Mesopotamia, were the Parthians. The Parthians were ruling it for the last 200 years, 200-300 years. And the Parthians were, you know, they were taken over by the Romans, and they rebelled against the Romans, they were part of the Rome, against the Rome. But clearly, the Parthians had a Roman influence, right? A Greek, Greco-Roman influence in their ruler, in their leadership, in their philosophy, and everything they did, you know, because they were fighting against them, but many times they were part of Rome. Those were the Parthians. And they were ruling Bavel. And remember, the Resh Galusa had to do with them. It was always, you know, it was always a connection. The golden years of Bavel was clearly under the Parthians. They left him alone, the Jews, and the Jews had almost full autonomy in that part of the world. Now, in the year 224, remember, Rav came down to Bavel, according to Rav Shri Ragoin, Rav came down to Bavel in the year 219. So 5 years after Rav came down to Bavel, a big war between the Parthians and the Sasanian Empire. Now the Sasanians were from the east. They were from Iran, current-day Iran, Persia. The Sasanian Empire, they basically, it was a big battle, and the year 224, the last of the Parthian kings, whose Artabanus, yeah. Artabanus the fifth. He was the Artaban, right? Chazal call him, we'll soon see, Adar Khan Artaban, same name, same person. But Artaban was the last of the Parthian kings. The one, and he was defeated in the year 224 by the Sasanian Empire. The Sasanian Empire took over. The first of the Sasanian Empire was Ardashir the first, which is not so important. We're going to soon see why. But Ardashir's son was Sapur is what the Gemara refers to as Shvar Malka. Shvar Malka, who, by the way, had a very close relationship with Shmuel. Shvar Malka is Sapur. That's Shmuel. That's right around this time period because the Sasanians took over. Now, the Sasanians took over. They were Persians. They had their own religion. The religion was, I have it over here on the second page, Zoroastrianism, which is a It's a part of the Iranian Persian religion, and there was a lot of emphasis over there on fire. And the Gemara actually speaks about it, but their Hanukkah they can do it because of the Zoroastrians, that fire belonged to them, and Jews couldn't light fires. Big thing of their religion is fire, and we'll soon see how that affected Rav and Shmuel, because they were living with all these Zoroastrians that were coming in from the Sasanian Empire, and they were starting to take over and take control. Not anything like we had in Eretz Yisrael with the Romans and the Hadrianic decrees, but clearly it was an impingement on this freedom of religion that the Jews had in Bavel, enjoyed in Bavel, for all these years. So that's from a political concept which was taking place. Now let's see what the Gemara says. The Gemara says like this, number one on the sheet. Antoninus Shamshei LeRebbe. Antoninus, right, served Rebbe. They were close friends, right? Antoninus, we discussed it at length. Adarchon Shamshei LeRav. Who's Adarchon? Adarchon is Artabanus. Artaban is Ardachan. It's the same thing. So Artaban, Ardachan was close friends with Rav. Again, from the Parthians. Kishochiv Antoninus, when Antoninus died, Omar Rebbe, Rebbe said, Nispardo Achavilo, the rope is now untied. Kishochiv Ardachan, when Ardachan, Artaban, gets defeated in 224, Omar Rav, the Rav says, Nispardo Chavilo. What's Nispardo Chavilo? It says Rashi, Ahavaseinu Shenikshiro Nefesh Benefesh. So obviously there's a close bond between Rav and the Parthians. The last of the Parthian rulers, Artaban, and there's a close kesher between Rav and the last of the Parthian rulers, which is fine, right? When the Gemara says it, the Gemara says on Rebbe and Antoninus and Rav and Artaban, so obviously it wasn't just he knew him, there was obviously a close connection, a close bond between the two. Fine. What happens? Look at number two on the sheet. The Gemara says a story in Bava Kamma. Some, you know, obscure Gemara has to do in Hilchas and Nezikin. But we always like to pull out these Gemaras that talk about it, and then we get the historical understanding. So the Gemara says in number two, Hahu Gavre de have a boyach vuya tivna de chavre. So the Gemara says there was this person who wanted to maser a tivna de chavre. It was a friend of his, a Jewish person, that was hiding straw. Hiding straw means you were not paying your taxes. You're hiding income tax, hiding your straw. So another Jew wanted to maser on him. He wanted to ran him out to the authorities. So also the Kamei de Rav. So he went in front of Rav. Again, that's a Rav that we know. Omalei tells him, Leitachri veloitachri. Make sure you don't maser. It's forbidden to maser another Jew. So he answered him back very brazenly. Omalei told him, No. Machvinu, machvinu. He's going against the law of the land. I'm going to maser him. So Yosef Rav Kahana Kamei de Rav. So Rav Kahana sits in front of Rav. Shamte lekuyim minei. Basically, he cursed him and he dropped him. He did something to him and he dropped him. I think maybe he took away his. He hit him on his vertebrae. He killed him on the spot, and Rav Kahana killed him. So Kori Rabbi Leisa Rav said on him, "You're right. Banechu ulfu shachvu bereish kolchutzais kisay michmar. That your children are like a cage. Matoyze kivin shnafel michmar in rachman alav av mamon shal yisrael kivin shnafel ben kovim in rachman alav." Just like this animal, once he falls into this pit, you have no compassion. So too, Jewish money falls into the non-Jewish hands. This person tries to maser this Jewish person who's not paying taxes. Okay, it's a terrible thing. You don't have to maser on him. You maser on him. In rachman alav, I have no compassion on him. Kahana, you didn't do so bad. You did the right thing. Nothing wrong with it. That's okay. Amalei Rav. So Rav turns to Kahana and he tells him, Kahana, you better be careful. Ado idna, until now, have a palsoi de leikabdi ashvichus domim. Until now, we had Persians that did not care about bloodshed. Hashte ika yevanoi, now there are Greeks, the kabdu ashvichus domim, that do care about bloodshed, v'amri maldin maldin, and they're going to say that the Jews are, you know, all everything is falling apart, all society is being loose, kum sak la'avad Yisrael, go run off to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav is telling Kahana after he killed him, oh, the authorities are not the same like they used to be. There's a change in administration. Till now we had the Persians, now we have the Greeks. So historically, how does that make sense? Says the Mashal says already, number 2a, Kum sak le'etz ol v'kabel lecha, Shomalei told him, Kum sak le'etz ol, go up to Eretz Yisrael, me'emas palsoi, the kabdi ashvichas damim. He changes it around. Because you gotta be worried about the Persians, because they are concerned about bloodshed. In other words, the way the Mashal has the gersa, is until now we had the Greeks, they don't care too much, but now we have the Persians, and they do care. Who are the Greeks? Who are the Persians? The Greeks are the Parthians until the year 224. This story happens right after that, 230, and he says, there's a new man in town, it's the Sasanians that are in charge, now the Persians, and they are very Right, they don't like bloodshed, and therefore they're going to crank down on it, especially it's a new thing, a new province on it. They think maybe the Parthians, you know, they already 300-400 years, let us do what we want, you know, we can do what we want. But now the Sasanians are here, the Persians, and they don't let us do what we want, you better run off to Eretz Yisrael. So Rav, which makes sense, Rav had this close relationship who is the Parthian ruler, and now the new people are in town, and Rav doesn't look favorable on that, clearly. He says, tells his Talmud Kahana, you better run that show because I cannot help you, because these people, they're going to arrest you, and they're going to kill you, and they're going to, you know, they're going to what's the name? So you better run away to yourself. I have no connection with these people. Rav is out, doesn't have a connection with the new rulers, Sasanians. He says, you better run, because I'm not going to be able to protect you. Then the famous story, he tells him, go to Etzesol, the Kabbalah, the Leitich, the Rav Yechon, and Shevashonim. Then make sure when you go to Etzesol, go there, you know, come with Talmud by Rav Yechon, don't ask him any questions for 7 years. So the Gemara says, Ozel Ashkel Rish Lakish, famous story, he meets Rish Lakish, and by the way, this makes sense, because you know at this time, Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish are the heads in Etzesol, right? Rebbechon Rish Lakish are the heads. And yeah, Rebbe Yehuda Nisai with Rebbechon Rish Lakish, right? The son of Rebbe and Rebbechon Rish Lakish in Etzesol. So he goes and he finds Rish Lakish, the Yosef of Kusayim Sifted Yom HaRabbanon. He finishes the day's learning that day. So he turns and he goes around and he sees people walking out of Beis Medrash. Amalui tells them, Rish Lakish Hecha, where is the famous Rish Lakish? Amalei Amai said, why? Amalui tells them, Hai Kushav, Hai Peruka. I guess he heard part of the Shir and he said, this question I have, but this is the answer. This question I have, and this is the answer. So they went to tell Rish Lakish. Azal Rish Lakish went, he told Rabbi Yechon, Ari Olam Mibavel. We have this great lion who came up from Babel. This new person, Kahana, massive coin. Look at the question he has, the answer he gives, unbelievable. Lion Mar by Mesifta Lamacha. You better check him out tomorrow in the Mesifta, in the Beis Medrash, in the Yeshiva. Look into him. Sure enough, Lamachu Swoo Bedor Kamod Kamed Rabbi Yechon. So the next day, they gave him a prime seat. You know, those times they would put you based on your seniority, based on your level of learning, front. You know, as you were bad, you were in the back. And as you got better, you moved to the front. So they put him all in the front row. Amish Meitzer. So Rabbi Yechon said, said something. So he gave a shiur. But action, he just listened. Didn't ask any questions. Shmeitzer, another shiur of action. Didn't say a word. He just stood there and listened. That's all very good. If you're not participating, put him back to the 7 rows. They put him back to the last row. So Rabbi Yechon is lucky. So Rabbi Yechon turns to his lucky and says, I don't sense. Arisha Marto Nasa Shul. This great lion became a fox. The great lion said came from Babel. He's not participating. The lion that you're talking about became a fox. Amais, he said, Yehrava, so Kahana said, Yehrav, Kahana said, Yehrav, Dhani Shav Adorid, Dhavi Chil of Shev Shom, Dhamli Rav. Maybe the 7 rows I had to go back, they should be in lieu of the 7 years that my Rebbe told me I cannot ask him any questions, it should be in instead. Come on, Kare, he got up, and he said, Nahadam Mabresh, would you please repeat this year? Amas, he said it, Shmaitze, and he asked him a question, Vikshe, Uk maybe don't come, Amas Shmaitze, Vikshe, and he moved him all the way up to the front row. So that's the story with Rav Kahana when he had to flee from Babel. But why did he have to flee? Because Rav tells him, sorry, I cannot help you. I have no connections. The Sasanians, there's nothing to do with me. And that's right this time period. We see that Rav had a connection with the Parthian Artabanus, Adrachan, but he has nothing to do with the Sasanians. Look in number 3, if you want to look from Wikipedia. Conflicting accounts, I did this in honor of Alan. I think instead of him looking up Wikipedia, I might as well do it inside and we can all read it together. So number 3, conflicting accounts surround the details of the fall of the Parthian Empire and the subsequent rise of the Sassanid Empire in mystery. The Sassanid Empire was established in Eshtakar, I don't know where that is, by Ardashir I, but this expansion quickly came to attention of Artabus V, the Parthian king, who initially ordered the governor of Khuzestan to wage war against Ardashir. 234, battles were victorious for Ardashir, which means the Sassanid Empire won. Where Artavid V met his death. So in 224, at Ctesiphon, as the sole ruler of Persia, Ardashir took the title Shashanash, or King of Kings. In other words, the Sasanian Empire, Ardashir was the emperor, and he, in the year 224, crowned, and he defeated Artabanus. So when Rav says, I was close to Adrachan, which is Artabanus, and then he died, that was in the year 224. And then when Rav Kahana has to run away, was right after the year 224, when the new Sasanians are in town, and Rav has no connection with them, he says, I can't help you, because I have nothing to do with them. Then, number 3b, looking 3b to relevant for later on, Adaphir's son Shapur the first continued the expansion of the empire, conquering Bactria, invested in the Christian Empire, while leading several campaigns against Rome, invading Rome and Septimia, captured Cairo and Ismis. In other words, his son started fighting against the Romans. He was very expansive. He wanted to expand his territory. That's his king, Shapur. What?
This isn't Shapur.
And we're going to see exactly what it is. That's Shvar Malka from the Gemara, who is a friend of Shmuel.
No, but this is Shapur in the Gemara also.
Sure
there is. No, there's no Shapur.
Sure there is.
As a
the famous story, Shapur and the sure. knife and what was it called? That was a scene we made in
Chevron. Shapur?
Yeah. He's mentioned.
But not him, because this is Shvar Malka.
It
might be the other one, because that's Sapur the first.
They could have used both names interchangeably.
Yeah, and they also had a bunch of them. This is Sapur the first. Might be Sapur the second, third. Might be the other one. But there's one Sapur, the one I'm talking about. If you want to see over here, by the way, number C, 3C, Sapur intensive development plans. He also befriended a Babylonian rabbi called Shmuel the first. Who's that? Yeah, Shmuel.
That's it.
That's Shvar Malka.
That's it, but that's the Sapur they're talking about.
Okay, that's Shapur Shvar Malka.
But they call him Sapur in Hebrew.
But the Gemara calls him Shmuel Malka. This friendship was advantageous for the Jewish community, gave them a respite from the oppressive laws enacted against them. Later kings reversed Shapur's policy of religious tolerance on the pressure from Zoroastrian magi, that's the Zoroastrian religion, and the high priest, Kilmani, Baramic father, to the Zoroastrian priesthood. That's the advent of these Zoroastrians that came along with the Persians, and they started, you know, running the policy, at least from a religious perspective, in Babel. Before we get to that, right, clearly there's a connection between Shmuel and the Sasanians, but clearly between Rav and the Sasanians, there is no connection. So on the one hand, we see Rav, yeah, he has something to do with the Parthians, but when it comes to the Sasanians, this new empire, he has nothing to do with them, he has no connection with them, he has no pull with them, and he tells his Talmud, run away. On the other hand, we find Shmuel, that he's very, you know, he makes right away connections with this new Sasanian empire and this new Sasanian king. For example, the Gemara says in number six, Shmuel kamei shvoi malka b'tamnayim mazgi chamro. That Shmuel was in front of Shvar Malka, exactly what it means. Rashi seems to say he would, you know, honor him with 8 cups of wine, he wouldn't spill it. Others say that Shvar Malka would honor him. Clearly there was a close relationship between Shmuel and Shvar Malka. Shvar Malka is his Persian king. Look at number 6a. Omale Shvar Malka Shmuel. Shvar Malka tells Shmuel, Amrisa de Chachmisa Tuva. They say you're very smart. 6a. Emily, my chazina b'chalmoy. What am I going to dream about tonight? So Shmuel tells him, Amalei tells him, Chazis, the asu roi mei v'shavuloch. I know you have a big battle against the Romans. Well, that's what we saw in Wikipedia, right? 3b. That he was always fighting against the Romans. He says, I know you have a big battle. Shapur the first, Shvar Malka. You have a big battle against the Romans. V'techina b'kashaisa b'rechayit adava. And I see in the dream that they're gonna make you work, in a mill. They make you hard work, and they capture you, and they can make you work in a golden mill. So sure enough, it was opposite took place. He actually won the war, but that was Gemara says here kule yomer. Sure enough, the whole day Shvar Malka was thinking about, oh my goodness, I'm gonna lose the battle against the Romans. And sure enough, Lur Techazi that night he had that dream. So Shmuel knows if you think about during the day, you have the dream at night. So that's why he told him this. But clearly, this is Shvar Malka, who is Shapur, who is the one who's fighting against the Romans, and we see he has a close relationship with Shmuel. And in general, Shmuel, you know, a lot of things we have from the Gemara, we paskin, Hilchos Rav b'Isurim. When it comes to Isavater, paskin Rav. V'Hilchos Shmuel b'Dine. When it comes to Chayshim Mishpat, Dinim, we paskin like Shmuel. And when it comes to many things of Dinim, Shmuel is saying, the concept of Dina de Malchus Dina, where do we get that from? Who's the one who said Dina Malchus Dina? Shmuel. Shmuel is the one who said this concept of Dina de Malchus Dina. Look at number 4. Omar Rabba, Hanit Las Mili Shtoili Ukva Banachem Yeresh Gelusa, Mishmei de Shmuel. These three things that Ukva Banachem Yeresh was Yeresh Gelusa told me in the name of Shmuel, Dina de Malchus Dina. Rule number 1. Arisusa de Palsoi ad Mem Shnin. Even though regularly Chazoka 3 years, but by the Palsoi, what are the Palsoi? The Persians. Parsoi is the Persians, right? And the Persians are the Sasanian Empire. That's the Persians. And by them, Shmuel said, well, if you're working for them, you have Chazak is only 40 years, because that's the law by them, and we can't go against their things. Part of Dina Malchus Adina. And then he says, V'hani zehure de zomin arele taska, and these people, that tax collectors, that take your property as a lien for tax purposes, and they sell it, right? What's it called? They foreclose it, zavninu zvine. That's a good sale. Even though kum taloch it's not, but I'll defer to the Sasanian law. Again, Dina de Malchus Adina. V'hani mila de taska v'l'chaguloi, my time v'chaguloi, depends what type of tax. If it's a property tax, and they're foreclosing a house, and the sale is valid, if they want money from you, and they take your house, they're not, he's mechalek, he differentiates between two. But clearly, while Rav seems to take a hard line, not necessarily a hard line, but he does not have a connection with the Sasanian Empire, Shmuel, on the other hand, has a very close connection with Shvar Malka and Dina de Malchus Adina and some of the Sasanian laws. Okay, if it's not going against the Torah, we can adapt it. Different than Rav. And the reason probably is because, again, Shmuel is a homeboy. Shmuel comes from Narda. Shmuel has that connection with the Reish Galusa. They, for 300-400 years, they have connection with the rulers. So as soon as the Sasanians come in, it wasn't a personal connection. The Reish Galusa and Shmuel knew how to have the connection with the Sasanians, and they knew, okay, there's a new person in town, we're going to make the right, they have all the infrastructure, we'll make the right connections, we're not going to fight them, we'll go with them. It was a whole different approach, because Shmuel was a Nahardoyan. He was close to the seat of power, he was close to the Reish Galusa, and therefore his outlook, his relationship with the rulers, the Sasanians, with the Goyim at that time, was a whole different outlook than Rav. Rav is coming from Eretz Yisrael, Rav is coming to a new place.
It's only been there 10 years.
Only been there 10 years. Yeah. He doesn't have all that infrastructure. He tells his friend, his son, Talmud Kahana, you better run away. Because, yeah, the old king I knew, this one I can't help you with. And therefore, it's a whole different approach. We understand the different approach because they come from different backgrounds and they establish themselves differently. And believe it or not, we actually paskin like Shmuel, Medina. All the things of Medina we paskin like Shmuel because, anyway, look over here. It is fascinating. Number 7, the Gemara says over here. Even more. Umi karina Shmuel Sarois. The Gemara says the question, you tear Kriya on bad Shmuel's? V'amulei l'Shmuel. But they told Shmuel, they went to tell Shmuel that your friend Shvar Malka, Sapur, he killed 12,000 Jews in Mezigas Kesari. That was a city, Mezigas Kesari, and he didn't tear Kriya. So why didn't he protest against it? Okay, he only tear Kriya on other people if it's Rav Tzibur. So Shmuel says, "Umikata Shmuel, you die? What do you mean? Shmuel didn't kill any Jews. V'amalei Shmuel Malka Shmuel, but Shmuel Malka told Shmuel, tastily, you got to give it to me. The Leikatli Yudi Moilam. I never killed an innocent Jew in my life." So Shmuel says, "Hasaminu gamul nafshayu. They caused it upon themselves. Nam Ravami lekal yisera the mizigis kasare pokashur pokashur the lutkaya." They must have done something, I don't know what that quite is, I can look up the Gemara in Moed Katan, but Lekal Yaseiro, the extra, Lekal Yaseiro, some extras that they did, of Mizigas Kasare, Pokashur de Lutkaya, that caused the downfall, all the way up to Lutkaya, some other city in Babel, meaning they brought it upon themselves. So rather than the Gemara saying, Shramaka did a terrible thing, right, the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara said, yeah, he was somewhat justified. The people brought it upon themselves. So this is a whole different approach than Rav's approach. They care about Shvichas Domim and they're terrible and I can't help you run away. It seems to be a different approach. And I think the reason is because Shmuel was very connected to the Reish Galusa. If you look at number 8, the number 8a, you know, speak about Kihod Shmuel and Ma'ukva. Shmuel and Ma'ukva. Who's Ma'ukva? Ma'ukva was the Reish Galusa. Right? He was Reish Galusa. So Shmuel and Ma'ukva, Kavi Yasvi Galsi Shmaitza. When they would sit together, they would learn together. They would learn together in the Beis Medrash. Havi Yasvi Ma'ukva Kamei the Shmuel Berichuk Abamas. So when they would sit and learn Beis Medrash, so Shmuel would sit up front, and Ma'ukva would take a secondary seat. Meaning Ma'ukva was secondary to Shmuel. But when they would sit in judgment, remember, Ma'ukva was not just the Resh Galusa, he was the Av Bezin as well. So when they would sit in Din Torah, so have a Yasser Shmuel come made Ma'ukva, Berach Gav Amos. Then it was the opposite. Then Shmuel was Rosh Hashiva, Ma'ukva was the Av Bezin, Shmuel would take four Amos away from Ma'ukva. The Gemara says they would put, like, Shmuel was very short, so they would put a mat on the floor for Ma'ukva, so like this Shmuel would stand, I suppose, Ma'ukva would sit, and they would reach each other's height. Now that they'd be able to learn together, they accommodated Ma'ukva, so he should sit on a mat on the floor, I guess Shmuel would stand, and that's how we learn together. Adjustable standard, exactly. No, meaning they would do everything because it was a close bond between them. Remember, they are both in Arda, and they're close with each other. The Gemara says, "Kol yume every day have a lavalei ma'ukva l'shmuel ad ushpize." Every day, ma'ukva would walk Shmuel home until his home. Yumechad itre bedine. In other words, you know, when Shmuel left the Beis Medrash, right, and ma'ukva was in his bezdin, whatever he's busy. Then Shmuel would not go until Ma'ukva would walk him. Imagine the Reish Galusa with the Gadol and Bavo walking together every day. Talk about a close connection. Yumachat Shonaf Itr Bedine, Ma'ukva was busy with his interior. Have also Shmuel Basay. So rather Shmuel waited for him, and Shmuel walked after him. So Yimot Lebeisha, when he got to his house, Amalei, so Shmuel turns to Ma'ukva, Loi Nagaloch, Lishri Ma'al Betigrei. Now it didn't get dark. Am I allowed to go back to my house now? So he made it sound like he was upset that he had to walk him. You always walk me. So Yada the Nakim Nosa Vidaite, Nog Dibus of Nafshi Khadyaimu. So Ma'ukva realized that maybe Shmuel had a tiny name that he made him wait. So he kept himself away from Shmuel for a day. Kilo he was in Khairim. Now such high respect and high esteem the Reish Galusa held for Shmuel. But the next Gemara tells me the exact opposite. That Shmuel had high esteem for the Reish Galusa. Number 8a. Rav Yehuda and Yosef came to Shmuel. Rav Yehuda wants to sit in front of Shmuel, and Rav Yehuda is very interesting. We just learn about him. He was actually a Talmud of Rav, and when Rav died, he went to learn by Shmuel. See, he learned by both of them. We read him, but learn about him separately. But also, he hits a kotzafte kame. So as he's sitting in front of Shmuel, this woman comes and screams in front of Shmuel, and I guess she needs money, whatever it is. But I have a basketball, and Shmuel did not, you know, heed her, did not pay attention to her, and then didn't listen to her. Amalei, so he turns to him, he says, Le'savalei ma, otam ozne mizakas dal, gamhu lo'ika v'liyane, how can you not listen? He turns to his Rebbe, he said, how can you not listen to this poor woman? Amalei, so he tells him, Shinana, reishach b'kriri, reishach d'reishach b'chamimi. I don't know what that means, but I think it means to say, the head is in cold water, but the head of the head is in hot water. In other words, hayasim ha'ukva av beizdin. What do you want from me? I'm only a second fiddle over here. I'm only the head. There's the head of the head. He is in the hot waters. He can arrange everything. I'm not the right person. I'm only secondary. Who is the main person? Ma'ukva. Let her go to Ma'ukva. It was smart. Go to Ma'ukva. Let her go to Ma'ukva. He's our bezin. Like it says, Beis David Koyam Hashem, Dina Lebeke Mishpat, Vatzilu Gozum Yaroshek. He's from Malchus Beis David. He's the leader. Go to Ma'ukva. So clearly, there was a close relationship between Shmuel and Ma'ukva, and between Ukva and Shmuel, between the Reish Galusa and Shmuel. What does that tell me? Well, the Reish Galusa is close to Shmuel, and the Reish Galusa, for 400 years, they had full autonomous power. So when the new empire takes over, the Sasanian Empire, the Reish Galusa right away knows how to make a kesher with the new rulers, because they want to continue their autonomy, so to speak. And therefore Shmuel, who's connected with the Reish Galusa in the same town, they learn together, they sit in Bezin together, he obviously has a good relationship with Shmuel Malka. By Rav, we don't really find that. Rav is out of the game. He's in Surah. He's with the Yeshiva, he's with everything else, but he doesn't have those same connections. Why? Because he's not in the thick of things. Like we said, he's somewhat a newcomer to Bavel. You know, he grew up in Bavel, but he's a newcomer. He's not part of the establishment of Bavel, and therefore he doesn't have the same connections, and we don't find that same close relationship that we find by Shmuel. I think it's very fascinating, and we actually understand it now, because we understand the background. We know where Rav comes from, we know where Shmuel comes from, and now we understand. But Rav tells his Talmud, you better go hide, because I can help you. And Shmuel and Shmuel Malka are close with each other. You know, and during that time of Sapur the First, The Jews have a somewhat, like we saw in the Wikipedia brings down, there was a respite from the oppressive laws enacted against them from later on. Afterwards it became much worse, but in the beginning it was good because they had this personal relationship with the Sasanian king, Shvar Malka, with the house of Shmuel and the house of the Reish Galusa. Oh, by the way, just to show you why, again, I don't know if that means anything, but in contrast, remember we once said that Rav came and he got a job from the Reish Galusa to be in charge of the marketplace, you know, to make sure nobody is cheating, and he didn't want to do it the way he said it, and he put him in jail at the end. So that's the relationship Rav had with the Reish Galusa, and then you compared with Shmuel with the Reish Galusa, it's different, right? But we saw that, number 8b, Rav Mani Reish Galusa and Nalgimus, having Mocha on the Chilte of Lashure, he put him in charge of Nalgimus on the weights and measures, exactly. There's, by the way, there's a title for that, Secretary of something.
It is here.
What?
It's the Department of Weights and Measures.
Department of Weights and Measures, there you go. Department of Weights and Measures. Right. And sure enough, he didn't want to measure, didn't want to do weights, one of the two, Chafshe Reish Galusa. So the Reish Galusa puts him in jail. I don't care who you are. You might be Rav. Now, it could be this was when Rav was younger, but clearly he doesn't enjoy the same relationship with the Reish Galusa, I think, the way Shmuel does. And it makes sense. Because Shmuel is part of Avur de Shmuel and the generations in Nadar. Obviously, that's the connection. Rav is not the homeboy. It's not the same. Somewhat of a newcomer. And therefore, he doesn't have the same outlook, the same relationship with the Reish Galusa, I suppose. And by extension, with the secular, you know, authorities, the Shvar Malkin, etc., etc. Now, in the beginning it was good. What changed? I think what changed is, and we have to discuss it a little bit, discuss it more when it comes later on, but the entrance of this Zoroastrianism. What is the Zoroastrianism? Look at number 11. Zoroastrianism is an ancient Iranian religion and religious philosophy. It was once a state religion of the Achaemenid, Parthian, and Sasanian empires. Now, you know, I guess it had to do, might have been religion of the Parthian empires as well, but the Jews had complete freedom of religion during the Parthian rule. During the Sasanian rules, these Zoroastrianism priests started flexing their muscles, started coming in, and like we saw before, that, you know, the emperors almost listened to them, and they started causing trouble to the Jews. Now look at number 11, the third line. Zoroastrians usually pray in the presence of some form of fire, which can be considered evident in any source of light, and the culminating right of principle of worship which consists the strength of the waters. Fire is considered a medium through which spiritual insight and wisdom is gained, and what is considered a source of that wisdom. Why the emphasis? There's obviously some emphasis on fire. Now, that's the background. Now, with that in mind, look at number 9. So this talks about a little bit later, but we'll see. You know, there was a whole discussion with Rav at that time as well. Number 9. Rabbi Bachana Chalash. Rabbi Bachana, you know, was sick. So Ola Gabe Rav Yehuda v'Rabbi Leshulebe. So Rav and Rav Yehuda, this is 3 generations later, went to visit Rabbi Bachana. Bo'mnei said, I had a question, you know, when they visit, they discussed in learning. Shnaim Shevi'u get Medina Zion. Sich Jem Fonehne 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 Sichim. 2 Adim come and bring the get. So they can be Mekayim of themselves. They can verify the get's a good get. Do they have to say Fonehne Fonehne or not? Omelem Ein Sichim. Ma'al Yem Fonehne Gishim Bilehemna. In other words, they believe to say that she's divorced. So therefore, they don't have to say, if they bring a get, they don't have to verify the get's a good get. The 2 Adim, they believe anything, they don't need to say that. So as they were discussing, Adahachi, Osahu Chavra. This Chavra came. What's a Chavra? How did you learn the Gemara in Gittin? A friend? What's Chavra? What's a Chavra? So look in Rashi, when he discusses in Shabbos, Daf Mem Hei. Chavre, the last line in number 10a, Shem Uma Shehoisa Im Parsayim. It's a name of a nation that came along with the Persians. That those are Chavrei, are the Zoroastrians. These are the religion that came along, the Zoroastrian priests, or the religion that came along with the Parsoim, with the Persians in Babel. So what do they do, this Chavra, these Zoroastrians? Shakla, Lekalgo, Shalga, Mikamayu. They took their fire, they had a light. They took the fire from them. Some Zoroastrian came into the house, and they were in charge, and Jews are not supposed to have fires. took away the fire. We know now why they took away fire, because the whole religion was based on fire. The Gemara has a whole discussion, we'll soon see, with Rav and with Hanukkah candles because of these Chavre. These are the Zoroastrians that are coming in and they're starting to cause trouble because fire is a big thing by them. Omar, so look what he says. Omar, he says, Rachmana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Oy betulach, Oy betulach debayesof. You know, either I think it means betulach, either in your grace or the Romans. In other words, give us back the Romans. These are terrible. We don't, we'd rather have the Baraisov. Rather have the Romans. So he wants us, Lemaimah, you want to tell me, Davamai Malumi Pasoi, that the Romans are better than the Persians, than the Sasanians? God knew its way, and he knew, you know, he knew the path, and he knew the way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that the Jews cannot take the Xeris, the decrees of the Romans. So Babylonia is a good thing. So how can you say Babylonians, the Persians, who are now in Babylonia, right? Because the Persians are now in Babylonia, when Rabbah says this story. How can you say they're so good? They're better than the Romans. Reb Chiya said not like that. What's the answer? Mati, what's the answer?
One before, one after.
When did Reb Chiya live?
Before
the Sasanians came. So he was like Asher. Hamakame the Netre Chavre Le Bavel. Halabasad Asu Chavre Le Bavel. Depends. Reb Chiya said that the Babylonians are better than the Romans. That's when Reb Chiya lived. When did he live? He died in the year before Rabbi. So in the year 219, before Rabbi even came down. Or right when Rabbi came down, that's when he died. So that's before the Zoroastrians came in. Before these Chavre came in. The Shemuma, they came along with the Persians. Before they came, they were much better. It was excellent. Once these Chavari came, the Zoroastrians that came along with the Sasanians, that's when the trouble started, and therefore, Babel had its own share of troubles. Now look at the Gemara number 10, we understand the Gemara is also very well now. The Gemara asked a question in Shabbos, V'abomine derav, their question was, Mahu litutule shchage de chanukaso, mikame chavre v'shaboto. Are you allowed to? You light your Hanukkah candles outside, right? So after they lit, I guess after half an hour, could you carry them inside on Shabbos? Right? Dovashen Miskaven, Reb Shimon. Why? Mekame Chavore. Because of these Chavore. Could you carry them on a Shabbos? Who did he ask the question? To Rav. Why Rav? Because Rav is living in Surah, and these Zoroastrians are coming in. What?
That's the first time
they
had an issue.
Vamalun, he told him, so okay, Shabbatomi. So he says, Shasat Chak Shani. That's a Shasat Chak. Because Rav Kahana and Ravashi, Rav Kahana is his Talmud, right? So obviously this story took place when? Before Rav Kahana was sent up to Eretz Yisrael. So that makes sense. Rav Kahana was sent to Eretz Yisrael, the Persians were there already, the Sasanians were there already, the Zoroastrians were there already, right? And that's why he had to run away. So beforehand, his Talmidim already told him, Rav Kahana told him, how can you paskin like this? So Amalui told him, Kedai Rav Shimon, listen, Machalov. In other words, they asked Rav, could we carry these things? He said, you better carry them, because these Zoroastrians, fire, they see, Jews can't have fire, it's terrible, that's one of the takanas, and therefore, that's when things started to change. Shvar Malka was good, but that's the Sasanian Empire, or the Sasanian king. But you had these Zoroastrians, the priests, and they started dictating things, they started taking control, and that's when the trouble started. First time ever, really, in Babel, because Gemara says Babel was so good for the Jews. Yeah, but once these people came in, it was difficult, and they lost some of their religious independence somewhat. Look at Rashi, Mikame Chavore, Shlo Yiruhu Bechatzel. The Zoroastrians should not see the light, the candle in the chatzar outside, can I'm reading there? The night before the time of the Shabbos, supposed to put it outside. The yadu shidliku by nail, and then they'll know that you lit a candle. The heim gazru, and these chavari, they made exeris shalayla hadlik. You can't light candles. Why can't you light candles? What do you mean? Fire? Jews can't have fire. Fire is my ass. That's their whole religion was based on fire. So therefore, that's what this whole concept is of the Zoroastrians. Look at number 12. Marava bar Machzi omar Rav Chama bar Yura omar Rav. This says it's the name of Rav. Tachas Yishmael v'loy tachas Nachi. Better to be under an Arab, Yishmael, than under Nachi. And Nachi, I suppose, is Edom. Tachas Nachi, Romans, is better v'loy tachas Chaver. What do you mean Chaver? Friend? No. The Chavarim, these are the Sasanians, the Zoroastrians, the religion that came along with the Iranians, and that was a bad thing. If you look at number 13, which is two generations later, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Begoyin novel achisein," that I'll anger them amongst a terrible nation. Rabbi Yochanan, "Elu chaverim." Omer Rabbi Yochanan, "Osu chavari lebavel." They told Rabbi Yochanan, the Chavarim, the Zoroastrians, came into Babel. Again, this is this time period, right? Rabbi Yochanan, when Rav and Shmuel are in Eretz Yisrael, and in Babel, Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish are in Eretz Yisrael. So he told Rabbi Yochanan, Chavori came to Babel, Shoga Nofal, he said, terrible thing, Amalek. So they told him, Mikable Shoichat. He said, you know, you can buy them with money. So he said, okay, then it's okay. Tavit Yosef, he felt much better already. But he said, Gozu al Gimel b'nei Gimel, Gozu al Abosso, see, the Zoroastrians, these Chavari, they made Xera. What do you mean? The Sasanians were in charge. Yeah, but they were the priests that came along. They said, Jews cannot eat slaughtered meat. They can't have bathhouses. We say because of Tvila, I think maybe because water by them is a big thing as well. And they take the buried ones out of the redig the dead, and these all the bad things that the Jews had to face in those times, because even the Sasanians were there, but the Zoroastrians, the religion that came along with it, and the priests, that was official Iranian religion, they came and made tzaras to the Jewish people. Now, interesting, number 14, there's actually a discussion between the Gemara, Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, if you can walk in. Everybody says you're not to walk in to the house of Avodah Zarah, right? When we're speaking in the time of Rav and Shmuel, what Avodah Zarah are we talking about? I suppose this Avodah Zarah, right? This religion, the religion of the Zoroastrians. So there's a question between Rav and Shmuel. Clearly, you cannot go into their Avodah Zarah. That's called, the Gemara calls it, Bein Netzalfi. That you can't walk into.
There are no the original Parthians either. There were pagans.
Right.
So none of them are any good.
Wait. But then there's a question, clearly not it. Could you walk into Bei Avidan? Which is, it's a discussion where they have place where they have theological discussions on their religion. Fire, water, the theological, not the Bei Avidan, not the churches, but the theological places where they, what?
Seminary.
The seminary, exactly. Could you walk into their cemetery, into the seminary, right? Machlokes, Rav and Shmuel. Who do you think says what? What do you think says?
Rav says no, Shmuel says yes.
Exactly. Rav says you can't walk in there into the thing. Shmuel says you could. Now, why is Shmuel saying you could? Probably the reason, because I know what they say in order to know how to deal with them. Whatever the reason is. But you see two outlooks between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, no, I'm in Suva, Chas and Shalom, you can't. And Shmuel says, of course not, terrible. But I'm with the Reish Galusa, we have to know how we're going to deal with them, how we're going to try and be mevatel the decrees that they come with us. Maybe we can beat them at our own game. Therefore, Shmuel says, you could walk in to the Bei Avidam, look at Gemara says, Bar Mnei Rav Yosef, Rav Chanin, Marabo, Hali Sivri, the Bei Avidam, Mitzvah, Mitzvah, Lech, Mitzvah, 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 Rav Lai Ozil, Bei Avidam, Vachosh, Kenan, Bei Tzavi, Shmuel, Bei Netzavu, Lai Ozil, Bei Avidam, Ozil. He walked in. Now, did he allow it for everybody else? Probably not. But him or whoever needed to go in, he allowed them because he was covered to the Reish Galusa. They needed to try and fix the situation. Different approach and different roles, perhaps, they fulfilled, Rav and Shmuel, in Babel at that time. So on the one hand, we see Rav was clearly Tanu Polik, much greater, but Shmuel was the leader of Babel, and he was almost indispensable, you know, as the goal. Together with Rav, he was no less, and they perhaps fulfilled somewhat different roles based on the different backgrounds that they came from. It's very fascinating, the whole Rav and Shmuel. Okay.
Don't touch.
Didn't do anything.
Rabbi Yehuda, this is not the same Rabbi Yehuda. This is the same Rabbi Yehuda, though. There's more than one.